It's Spoilerin' Time, folks. This is the show where we take all the hard work on our other show, Cord Killers, where we figure out how to watch all this stuff, and then we watch it and talk about it here. This week, we'll be talking about Hannibal, Season 2, Episode 9, Invincible, Episode 8 of Season 1, and the entire run of the series Toast of London from Channel 4 and Netflix. I'm Tom Merritt. He's Brian Brushwood.
Yes, I am. But the question, Tomas, is where do we begin? Perhaps we go to our producer in studio.
What uno momento, because I actually need to update these titles. So
talk
a little more, gentlemen. Talk a little more.
Brian, please. It's Tom Merritt. Can you hear me?
Yes, Tom. I can hear you.
Let's try doing the titles without the script.
All right. Oh, that's the best part. Is he's like, yeah, I don't even need it. It's one word off to the side. And then just desperately glances over at the one word. Yes.
Let's talk about Toast of London. There's no way we can avoid it, Brian. It is a series from Channel 4 in the UK. We are watching it here in the United States on Netflix. And I apologize in advance for us continuing to distract ourselves by quoting and imitating the show, Brian.
Yes.
Brian, this is John Rael. Can you hear me?
Yes, John Rael, I can hear you.
Okay, great.
Sorry, did you have a point? Did you just hop in to say nothing and then go away?
No. I just want to say that was great. But could you give it again? Just the feeling is just a little bit more.
Sure. Tomas, it's wonderful to see you. I'm so excited that we get to talk about the Toast of London.
Yes, Brian.
It's addictive. It's addictive. I don't walk down this path. You're going to get trapped. You're going to be stuck in Stephen Barry forever and ever and ever. It's so great.
So Matt Barry is... Stephen Gonville Toast, we find out his middle name at one point. He is a actor of stage and screen in London, and that's it. That's pretty much it. If you like Matt Barry in the It Crowd or in What We Do in the Shadows, it's all the Matt Barry you could hope for, concentrated in a bag and then huffed directly into your comedic lungs.
So I've been trying to figure out what's so great about it, and I think we talked a little bit about it last week, and I think that I just grew up, like, the only British farce territory that I knew of was Monty Python, and those guys were all weird. Whereas, like, I don't know, to experience a fresh... over-the-top take on comedy where it's like they're going to spell out every single joke three times so there's no way you can miss it.
Repetition is a big thing in this, where they will like repeat, like someone will say, did you go to the store yesterday? Yes, I went to the store yesterday.
Like, as you know, I always go to the store on Thursdays.
But then sometimes,
yes,
weirdly...
I know you go to the store on Thursdays, Brian.
Well, you don't need to make a bloody federal case out of it. I go to the store on Thursdays. What's the big deal, Tom Merritt?
Then it's so weird because sometimes they'll do that, but then sometimes they negate their own joke. Like, no, stop repeating what I'm saying. That's absurd. Why are you being absurd right now? And then something absurd will happen and nobody will mention it and it's fine. Like, there's no rhyme or reason or rules for when
they dive into and out of it. Like, for example, there's that one moment when he says, your marriage is a farce, Ray Purchase. And I hope you heard that word. Your marriage is a farce. And then it goes into like just a classic French farce afterward.
Also, there's always a musical number, and it's very short.
Yeah,
right. Like musical numbers in comedy generally turn into full songs, and these are always like just one verse and then out.
And sometimes I've noticed
they're always period.
And sometimes they're short, but sometimes they are either comedic or am I wrong? Was I just on too many substances watching? Because sometimes I'm like, wow, this is really a sincere musical moment where they're expressing something meaningful.
From what I understand.
Right, because Matt Berry is a musician who has albums. The song from Toast of London is a really, really good like homage to that late 60s, early 70s vibe. But if you read the lyrics, it's like, I don't know you, but would you like to go down to the pub I know and we could talk because you seem cool. And it's like a ridiculous Stephen Toast lyric in what is a fine song.
He also has his singing voice is a couple of octaves higher than his actor voice. And so as a result, I for a brief while, I was convinced that it was clearly not him singing, but now I've heard his music separately and I'm like, oh,
if you go look at IMDb, the people he sings with often aren't singing with him. They will often have someone else sing that is credited separately, but he always sings his parts.
So how do you sum up what this is to somebody who ain't seen none of it? Because like you look at this image and you're like, I don't think this is something I would like.
No, you just have to tell them to watch it and they'll either get sucked in or they won't. Yeah.
I would tell them that you shouldn't like it. I shouldn't like it, but you probably will.
That's a pretty good way to put it.
That's absolutely right. Because I watched it and I'm like, I don't understand why Brian likes this. It's so full of in jokes to London's West End and the BBC.
I don't get half the jokes.
And things that I get some of the jokes because I watch way too much British television and I don't get nearly all the jokes. There are jokes I only know because of the shadow they cast. And I'm like, I can't imagine Brian gets any of those jokes. And yet it still works. And it does. It's still funny.
Oh my God, the over the topness, like where they're arguing about whether or not Ray Bloody Purchase's wife is a prostitute. And then they stop in front of a billboard that says, Mrs. Purchase, call for sex.
Well, and then there's the, like, we need to hide this from my husband, but he's asleep in the bed.
Yes.
Because he had a really hard night.
I don't know why.
Don't wake him up.
I don't know why I love it so much. I think I love it because it keeps setting up a either a ceiling or a floor and then crashes through either. And does not hurt the repeated appearances of Brick Talk from Guy Ritchie's Snatch.
Yeah, just the mean old man. Like,
Alan Ford, yeah.
Here's a question, though. Were you guys disappointed or waiting for certain payoffs that never, ever, ever happened? Like the unspeakable play? Like, were you waiting for something to transpire?
No. I felt like it was very, very clear. Like, these are the rules of the game. You will never know the name. All you need to know is that it's highly transgressive. That's it. And they'll talk around it.
Did you catch Daisy Ridley's cameo?
Yes, I did.
Who is Daisy Ridley?
Ray.
She is
from
Ray
Star
in
Wars.
The Star Wars.
Oh, yes. No, I did catch her cameo.
I could think of was Matt Berry made out with Ray from Star Wars. I've seen everything.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And
it was
John Hamm.
That was before she was cast as Ray. So
the John Hamm arc was a delight.
Just John Hamm being John Hamm because he's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, dude. Okay, so elements just in general, because we're talking about the entire season. I love that our main character is a piece of garbage. I love that I am being introduced to the highly repetitive and over-the-top nature of British farce. It awoken in me some I don't know, Ted Lasso vibes almost, you know. Maybe it was just dealing with the manager and whatnot. It goes in so many different directions. It's so much fun.
Yeah. It's impossible to nail down. And I think that's what makes it so much fun to watch, is like that you're never going to really know where it's going to go next. You're never going to get the expected joke. Or if you do, they're going to hammer it in your face. Like, here's the expected joke. You knew this was coming. Here, look at it. It's just
I will say it's got to make production way easier, because it's like, oh, we can't get them back for the next episode. Doesn't matter. That's fine.
Yeah. They also love, and this may be not as obvious to some folks, but like Alan Ford, like you mentioned from Snatch, you know, they subvert his type, right, by making him a hypnotist and a homeopath. Peter Davison, who played Doctor Who, is you know, kind of just a ne'er-do-well bad roommate. So they're always undercutting people's actual
characters. Oh my God, is that who that is?
Can I just Davison, point out how...
Davison was Peter Davison, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were...
How buff Ray Purchase is?
Yeah, Ray Purchase is shredded. I had no clue.
They hide that very well. But my goodness, Tom, I did not realize that was Peter Davison. I knew him from somewhere. The low-key way he's into the weirdest stuff. Oh, my God. And the whole constant torturing of Stephen Toast by the production crew... just never gets old. Never gets old. It's really great. It's great.
The other thing that I really enjoyed was his brother, who plays like a like late 1800s British person. Like he's out of character
in the military. Yeah, whose hand is constantly off being repaired, which is why he has a crappy kitchen
exactly.
glove on.
Has a rubber glove on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Suffice to say, we're all fans of it. We give it whatever our highest rating is.
Four toasts.
Yes, yeah. We give it 4 out of 4 toasts. I liked it a lot.
All right.
I think if we keep talking about it, we're just going to end up quoting lines to each other.
And we can't. This is family friendly, so don't quote it.
So that is Toast of London, the show.